Amen. Amen. A big hand to the worship team. Before they leave, we want to sing one stanza of Happy Birthday. Maybe you are born in November, all this week, all last week, all today. Can I see by show of hand? We want to sing Happy Birthday, celebrate life. All right, so Katsina, over to you. Just one stanza. Let's go for it.
Happy birthday, dear loved ones.
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 Amen. We wish you many more happy birthdays, healthy and fruitful years. We want to read scripture. We are reading from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. I read from the NIV version. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, I'll make him a suitable helper." Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will never come back to you void. As it goes out, may it bring a harvest. May it accomplish the purpose why you sent it. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding from the mouth of the Father. May I be an instrument that lifts you up, and may you draw men and women to yourself. And this prayer I make, even as we invite you to be part of our meeting, because we do it believing and trusting in Jesus' name. And God's people said, as you sit, remind someone you're precious, you are honored, and Jesus loves you. You are honored, you are precious, and you are loved of God. So if there was someone complaining no one loves them, now they know. Sawa. All right, World Cup season. What country is this? All right, Japan. So Japan, the capital is Tokyo. They have 124 million Japanese. That's a lot of people. Almost 2 point something times Kenyan population. Most of these people are Buddhist. Now, because I don't know who Buddhists are so much, I just know they have a god who sits down. He doesn't wake up. He sits somewhere, mefunga hivi. So you need to pray for them to know the real God. Why don't I take just 1 minute and pray for the 64 nations gathered in Qatar and many others who are coming to watch the World Cup. Father, we thank you for the nations of the world. The Bible says that you created there to be one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. That because of his shed blood, we can know Jesus Christ. So we pray for these nations that are coming for World Cup, because you have a higher agenda for them, that they might find this Christ, for whom to find is life and life in abundance. And we pray also for ourselves, that we be in a prayerful mood throughout this season, and that we be used of you as instruments to reach out and touch lives. And this prayer I make believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Asanteni, I bring you greetings from my family and also from PBC Northgate. And we want to say very, very sincerely, senior pastor and the leadership, We are very grateful for you helping us to settle down through Project Joshua 1-3. Asanteni sana for your giving, for your time, for your resources, for your visitation and encouragement. May God bless you abundantly. The Bible says when you give, God will give back to you more than you thought because of his power that is at work in your life. So God bless you. Asanteni sana. I'm also very thankful for having opportunity today to be at this pulpit and talk briefly about royal marriage. Since we are in the month of royal culture, authorizing the significance, so I want to celebrate royal marriages. And I see my friend is really making sure things are going properly. Glad to see Mam Beatrice Thiga, long time, and also Naomi Kiheko and many others whom I haven't seen for a while. Is a blessing. Royal marriage. God has ideas about marriage. These are some of the things we are going to be discussing. That the beginning of marriage is God. There are different types of marriages. What is it now? How are we considering marriages now? And also, what is God's ideal? I'll take us through a 2000 journey from the beginning to where we are now. Now, in having marriage, God was solving a problem, a very serious problem. Because in Genesis 2:18, he said, it is not good to be alone. So he was not happy that man was alone. You know, in the 21st century, we have some men wanting to get married and they are not ready. Then we have some others who are ready and they don't want to get married. So we hope, as we discuss today, we resolve this issue. Who is the one who should get married? Is a guy who has a job and has left his mother's house. Can't bunny your girl and take her to your mother. Who will be cooking there? Naenda kumpatia kompe. So mtu ajipange, and that guy will be qualified. If you are ready to get married and then you cannot support your family, then you may need to wait a bit. You apply what is called discipline, and then God will bless you. So it's not good for the man to be alone. What are the three things? There are many, but three main things why God opted for the solution of marriage. Number one, marriage resolves the issue of loneliness. Now you have someone to talk to, and you can talk with them deep matters. People who are lonely become sick. They have mental health issues. They can be depressed. And you can be lonely even when there are many people around you. So marriage gives you that one person you can talk to and talk to deeply. And I know that those who are married have that experience as well. The second item about marriage is that now you have someone to tell that you love them. Object of love. I know that especially many men telling your wife you love her all the time. You wonder why she didn't go to nursery school. Why should you keep repeating? You know, but the ladies tell me if you can do it in the morning, then you do it lunchtime through text message, and then you do it in the evening, they'll be happy. For us men from Central Kenya, it takes about 20 years to say again. Say, I told you when I married you. If it changes, I'll tell you. But yeah, you are meant to be making this often. You tell them often. And it's a blessing. And the third reason is because through marriage, you can have godly children. God is the one who ordains for there to be children. And the best way and the ideal setup is through a marriage. Right now, the world has 8 billion people. That's a lot of people. Nairobi, 5 million. Kenya, 50 million. So just imagine how much is 8 billion is a lot. Each one of those children, they have a father, they have a mother. They have a family. The family may not be functional. One of the parents may not be present, but they have a family. In fact, I was doing a study and I found out there are no illegitimate children. There are only illegitimate parents. Parents who don't show up when they're supposed to. Those ones, but the children are of God. And so it's important for us to understand marriage and to understand what God intended for marriage. I'm told that most of those 8 billion people are in Asia. India, 1.3 billion. China, 1.5 billion. So if someone can make all of them jump at the same time, they would tilt the world. But fortunately, no one so far has managed to get them to jump at the same time. And hopefully we'll continue to stay at equilibrium. But there are lots of guys there. The biggest country in Africa is Nigeria, about 230 million. And we continue to thank God for population growth and families that God has created. There's something that God says here, that he, once he found the man was lonely, he created a solution which is a suitable helpmate. So the spouse, the husband, the wife, they should be suitable for each other. And then in verse 24 of Genesis 2, the passage we read, he said that they should leave their father and mother and be united to the wife. I know there are some kashals in India and other places where they can stay together, but the recommendation of God is make a new family. Genesis 2 verse 24. And this new family is unique. It's not like the mother or father where they have come from. So to understand what's going on in marriage and how this rule has been applied, I looked through scripture and I saw some interesting people and their marriages. The first one I want to look at briefly is Abraham. Abraham got married to a lady called Sarai. That's in Genesis 11, verse 29. Media, if I can have Genesis 11, 29, we'll see the marriage of Abraham. That time he was Abraham to Sarai. Verse 29, Abraham and Nahor both married. So they discovered it's not good to be alone, so they married. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. So he got married to this lady called Sarai. They stayed for a long time. They didn't have children. The custom of that time, if you stay about 10 years, no children, they allowed you to marry again. And this time, it is the wife who participates in that responsibility. So in Genesis 16, we see now Sarah helping Abraham, her husband, to marry another lady. So that's Genesis 16. You can have a look at it briefly. Verse 3, he married another lady called Hagar, and they got a baby called Ishmael. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, they've left home, and they're now in Canaan. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to the master to be the wife. I don't know whether this is applicable in the 21st century. We are just looking. This is 2,000 years before Christ, so nothing to worry about so far. Then Abraham married another wife after Sarai died. This is in Genesis 25, verse 1 and 2. Her name was Keturah. Keturah was able to get 6 children, and so he had 6 children by Keturah. He had one son called Ishmael by Hagar, and he had Isaac, born of Sarai. So we can say that his marriage was somewhere, Sindio, a godly marriage. Now, there are 3 definitions here. You can have your own style, you can have a godly marriage, or you can have maybe a religious marriage, something in between. You're going to find out what these are. Another person I looked at, which is 1,000 years after Abraham, was David. King David, you all know King David. He married a girl called Micah, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And this is after he beat up Goliath. And Micah was a trophy wife. I hear now that they are trophy wives. You just take them to functions, then nothing else is happening, just to show them off and stuff like that. I hope you are not in that category. But yeah, they are there, and David had one. And then he married another girl called Ahinoam. He married Abigail. He married Maacah. He married Haggith. He married Abitai, Eglah. Micah was there. And finally, a very famous one, you all know her. She's called Bathsheba. This Bathsheba was a very interesting one because she was already married when David met her. But alipiga bwana yake geta. Kahepa na dem. So very interesting. This guy was a godly guy, clearly polygamous, but God fearing. So, but I'm not saying anything. That's 1,000 years before Christ. Then, of course, there's another family which is famous, the family of Elkanah. You know, there was Elkanah. He was married to Hannah. Hannah didn't have children, so she allowed him to marry Peninnah. Peninnah had children, maybe 10 sons or thereabouts. That's what we think. And, Peninnah was making noise and everything, laughing at Hannah. Yeah, so that's Elkanah. And Elkanah was a guy who was serving God. He loved God, and that was his status. But let's quickly move on to, that's God's standard. Then he comes to Abraham and David 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago before Christ. But what was happening around the time Christ was born in the book of Malachi chapter 2 is that men and women had abandoned the standards that had been set. And now they were doing, things their own way, completely different. Let me look at the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 14. We see what was happening for around 400 years before Christ is born. Because that seems to be more like what is still happening today. So in Malachi 2, verse 14, this is what scripture, I'll start at 13. Another thing you do, you flood my altar with tears, you weep, you wail, you cry, I don't hear you, and I don't favor you anymore. Why? You ask. Because the Lord is a witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is a partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. So by that time, people were unfaithful. You know, in Matthew 19, they discuss with Jesus about divorce. You know, if your wife does not cook eggs well, you know, you can make eggs, then the shell is inside. Then she's opportunity for divorce. Yeah. By the time Jesus is showing up, they were very wild. And it was mostly in favor of men. So what are the marriages we are dealing with today in Nairobi, Kenya, which is a sample of other marriages? We have children, and there is no proper father-mother. We call them single parents. I would surprise you that in 2018, 2019, the statistics of Central Kenya, 49% single parents. So for every two children, one is either one mother, mostly mother, and no father. What happened to the men? They don't want to take responsibility. Those men are not Pakistanis. There are some of you sitting here. They don't take responsibility. Unajua, msichana anakuja anakuambia, I'm pregnant. Naambia, hiyo DNA. Hiyo DNA. So by the time you are saying maybe DNA, it means you are a possibility. Yeah, otherwise you'd say, I never got anywhere near you. So these are Kenyans who are abandoning their children. Then I'm being told, JJ was educating me, there's another version of marriage called sponsors. So the guy pays the bills, he shows up when he likes. And then meanwhile, you can go and do manicure and pedicure and, swim. Yeah, but you have a sponsor. And I hear that these sponsors, Pastor Giniti, they are also boys who are sponsored by Sugar Mama. Again, Pastor Ambrose, I'm sorry to say, they are some of our members. They are not just in Kangemi. They are also here. Yeah, then we have something else called sacred families. So sacred families, they mostly show up during barrio. About two kids. In fact, as of right now, there's a famous family who are demanding DNA. Namta metokerezana sema minu enu, and I need a cut of the estate. You know, true story, my friend, and you know, I was telling Pastor Nick, don't judge me because of all my friends. As a pastor, you have them across the spectrum. So he took his 11-year-old son to play golf. And when the son came back home, 11-year-old, akabia madhake, today I spent the whole day with my 9-year-old brother. That's how he was introduced to his stepbrother. And the mother was in shock. You know, you first fall down on the sofa, and then you wonder, which movie was I watching? It is a movie called Your House and the issues of your family. They are called Sacred Families. Yeah, maybe people are elsewhere. First Ambrose, you wouldn't believe it. True story. A friend I know. This is a lady. She had three husbands. Yeah, one was in Kisumu, one was in Nakuru, one was in Nairobi. So she needed to go to the US, and obviously because JK is here, the Nairobi one is taking her to the airport. But the Kisumu one is very lovey-dovey. So he showed up to surprise her. Kupatana hivi kwa airport, dada ka decide it's time to board my plane. Chwa! Akawacha hapa wajue vile atajipanga. Only for them to find out there's a third one in Nakuru. So it took them some time to recover. They are called sacred families. Then we have also divorce, separation, all those mix. You know, for me, this new setup, the 21st century setup, I call it hybrid. So ata mwenye ujui ukuhani. One or the other, one of those. Yeah, people are talking about my spouse is toxic. Now, I don't know when toxic comes, because this is the same guy you used to date late into the night. Now he's toxic. I don't know where it changed. But we know that there is violence in families, domestic violence. Even we read in the papers, some people have died due to domestic violence. So it's a reality of our time. Some people are blaming it on women empowerment. You know, after Beijing, the ladies wore trousers, then they became employers. And at home, they didn't know how to switch back to marriage law. Others are saying it is just modernization, whatever the case is. So I went through and I thought to tell you a few things about what ladies are looking for in marriage, and also a few things what men are looking for in marriage. Let me start with what the girls are looking for. The girls are looking for men who will not rush them. Simbereke mbio mbio. Give them time. Give them time to really know whether you are a serious guy. You know, whether, you know, let her meet your family. Girls don't want a bush wedding. Bush wedding, the escort is bush baby. Yeah. You know, they hear you going in the night and they wonder, where are they going? Nobody, there are no witnesses. No, girls don't like that. There might be desperation and they come, but they are not happy. They like to put it on the table. Let's go meet everyone we need to meet. And tell people, tell Pastor Ambrose, yeah, that you're dating me. Kwani, wana unataka kunidate kwa giza? Yeah, so that's what girls like. Number two, girls are looking for men who will be faithful. So faithful in Kisumu, faithful in Nakuru. Even when you come back to Nairobi, continue being faithful. Faithful means I don't change. Yeah, what I was yesterday, today, I am. You know, my good friends, I have many friends from Western Kenya. They know how to say I love you, but I found out they say that to more than one girl. So that is not called faithful. Yeah, it might sound very nice, but it is not. So they are looking for faithful men. Also, they are looking for men who can provide. Men who can provide. The standard of God, which I'm coming to shortly, three things that men are expected to do. Men are expected to love, men are expected to protect, men are expected to provide. Provision is a big thing in marriage. You may not have a job, but why don't you get out there and clean cars? You know, do some shifting in the supermarket. Come home with unga. It's possible. Don't sit in front of the TV, you know, switching channels. You are the latest so popular. Na mtu hata umjui. Kufuata game, at a game. This is serious stuff. Get out there, bring home some bread. If the wife finds you three times when she comes home, you are home. Next, utapata pane ya mayai, megoga kishwa. Temperatures mepanda because you are not being the right guy. What are guys looking for in women for marriage to work? Number one, and I'm happy to tell ladies this, the men told me to tell all the girls in the house that intimacy for men is medicine. Yeah, if they don't have, they go sick. And then it's very dangerous because men are saying, If there's no intimacy in the house, maybe my car is a petrol car, ndaeka hata diesel, yaribike bere. Yeah, they don't care because it's like medicine. Then they are also saying that, could you kindly stop the extravagance of courtship? You know, courtship, I took you to Java and all those places. Even you remember the day we went to Kepinski and I ordered imajiadimu. I didn't have money, but I didn't want to say. That's courtship. Makeup, drama, you know, those now we are in reality. So forget those things. But you want to go shopping in Dubai. Shopping in Dubai, what is wrong with the shopping in Bama Market? So that's what men we are looking for. People who can come down to the ground. Yeah, and then also, men are looking for the ladies to know that even though we don't say it often, but still, we love you. We love you. We may not be the best. Maybe we are not firing up your imagination, but that's our way of telling you we love you. And please hear it. How do we restore marriages that are broken? I have a few ideas, and maybe you'll take some and work on them. Number one, you are going to need a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of perseverance. Where you are can be made better, but it takes work. Then you need to cut out all the major things and remain on the main, fundamentals. Show up at home, carry stuff, you know, just be there. Don't be absent. And then you come, is problem. Make the home a priority. Actually, I was looking at life's priorities. Priority number one is God, because God gives you life and breath and everything you have. Priority number two is family. Work can come later, because work, they can suck you, they can change, but family is number two. Very important. Let it be a priority. You know, in very difficult times, you need counseling. That one also will help your marriage to restore. Here at Parklands, we do premarital counseling. Before you get married, we help you on the wedding day to make it simple and elegant and memorable. And then after the wedding, we also help you in the maintenance. So if you're not getting that service as a member, kindly we will see Pastor Kiniti after the service. Because we are entitled to being supported in marriage, and the church has that structure. But allow me to talk briefly about what God is looking for. Remember, marriage is initiated by God. He has an idea what he wants, isn't it? The maker of the car knows how fast that car should be. I'll say a few things in this respect. Number one, God is looking for fathers and mothers, or husbands and wives, who are mature. This marriage is not for children. You know, at Northgate, I have two small kids, like 6, 7. They already have boyfriends and girlfriends. But fortunately, even the church will not allow us to marry them. They don't have a place to stay. They can't earn. They need to finish. I don't know whether after teenage, they will still like each other. But so it is for mature people. What this means, especially for the young men of this Generation Z, mkikosana na wife kwa nyumba, don't call your mother. Yeah, you have an ID, a passport. Why are you calling your mother to do what? She's also dealing with your father. You want her to come and do what? Marriage is for the mature. Sawa, sawa. That's God's expectation. Solve your own problems. You mess up, you clean up. Leave your mother out of it. Yeah, and then mothers who don't have wisdom, they actually show up. 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, yeah. This is a time, just go on your knees and pray. You resist them. The Bible says, leave and cleave. Leave your mother. And this is a different identity. Yeah, and every marriage can be managed. Do you know, in the scripture we read in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says that Adam was spending time with animals. Every man has animal spirits in him. Kukaka na wanyama wanyama. Yeah. So you have to tame him. It's your responsibility as a wife to tame him. The guy can come wild. You know, my grandmother, you know, when my grandfather would be upset, she would start dancing, literally dancing, you know, like that. If he joins the dance, vita imeisha. But the women of today, kushikia hivi bwana. Hajui kuna unyama dani. Yeah. Naweza inuka. Ujipate, you are dealing na siba. You cool down. Temperatures ni za nini? Ati mtu amesherewa. Now you want to raise temperatures. I have a friend who used to tell his wife, fanya hivi, chukicha gauge tuoge. because you are so annoyed, we can't talk. Because it's your control how much you want to get annoyed. It's like a balloon. Toboa kwanza muonge, alafu sasa unaweza fula baadaye. Yeah. Control. Marriage is for mature people. Number two, and this is very important. Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 25. I can have it on the board. Ephesians 5, 25. It says that husbands, you must love your wives in a sacrificial manner, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Sacrifice. Many marriages, people are selfish. They do for me. They don't do for the other person. Yeah? But marriage calls God's type of marriage, the one which God will grace and increase, it calls for sacrifice. So if you need to pick up the bills, pick up the bills. If you need to discuss, you know, adjustments, you do it. But let your wife know that you can sacrifice. I normally give this story, and it's a true story. My friend was with a wife. She was pregnant. They went to Sunshine Boutique, you know, Uko Ziwani, Uko. So the lady had the money in her purse. The purse was snatched. The guy is driving. So he's from Eldoret. He left the car and followed the thief. Now the wife started crying because she's wondering, will he come back alive? But this is a guy willing to sacrifice his life. Although I think what was running fast in damu ya kukimbia, sidhani alikuwa amepurpose to sacrifice, but he went after the bag and he came back with it. A guy willing to sacrifice. Wewe shira, usikibie kwa mtu mwenye hana hiyo sacrificial gift. Atikira kitu ni yeye, ni yeye, ni yeye. No. Marriage has sacrifice component built in. Otherwise, it won't work. We serve the other person, not me. And then, very important, marriage is for two people. You know, you can't force someone to marry you. When I was small, you know, this gene of wanting girls started early for me. So I was in primary school, and there was a girl. And this girl, for me, she was like an angel. Her father was a headmaster. Oh, what else you want in a girl? You'll become very clever if your father is a headmaster. So I wrote her a love letter, how much I cared. I was small, eh? That's, yeah, very lower primary. Then I escorted the letter with my rabbit. I slaughtered my rabbit. And I didn't have, you can see how much I loved, eh? Regan, I should have been from Western Kenya. Yeah, I escorted the rabbit. The girl reported me to the headmaster. She was not interested. I was thrashed. And from then on, I don't write love letters no more. He can get in trouble. You know, it has to be mutual. Don't think you love someone so much if there's no response. Because some people buy gifts. You buy a house, you buy a car, you are forcing someone to love you. They don't want. And I'm talking about saying, ukiacho achika. Yeah. There are approximately 300 million people who are not married. Find another one. Yeah. It has to be mutual. We need three partners in a marriage. We need a husband, we need a wife, and then we need God. For me, a godly marriage works like traffic lights. It has three stages. One stage is red. Things are not working. And it's your responsibility to work up towards Abba and green. In Abba, which is 5, 6 out of 10, you don't know which direction you are going. It can improve, or you might find she's not at home. My friend was hiking the Gong Hills, and then he was called by the caretaker. You didn't tell us you are moving. The wife has packed even the curtains. But you see, he used to be in Abba, and I think, Abba, it's likely to run green. Where? It is hard work. And then, of course, we are hoping from today you are going to put your marriage on green. Safety zone. You just be humble. Ask God's help. That's our intention. Because these other marriages, hybrids, all those stuff, they don't work. In the long run, they don't work. Nile unasema bele si sawa. But we are here to tell you about a God who started marriages and a God who sustains marriages. Let me tell you, if marriages don't work, the people who suffer most are the children. They suffer so much. And it is not God's intention to be happy about you making your kids to suffer. And I'm not saying stay in a marriage just for the sake of children, but then don't be in a rush to leave. When there's violence, yes, we recommend separation until people sober up, but don't be in a rush to leave. Children, God cares about them. He says, train them up in the fear of God. And he also says, deliver them to the next generation when they are godly. God has a stake in marriages, and God is committed to do marriages. Now, I was being reminded that here at Parklands, we do divorce care, we do divorce and remarriage. Yes, we do, because we want to encourage you, but it is not the intention of the church to take you there. We want you to make up where you are, and we want you to have a godly marriage. Forget those other versions. Go to Godly Zone, where God will help you to sustain your marriage. I want to finish with a scripture, very briefly, Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 12. It will give us an idea of God's pace kind of marriage, what God is looking for. Then we will pray. Proverbs 31, I want to go to verse 10. Proverbs 31, 10, the Bible says that whoever finds a good wife finds what is very variable. So number one, consider your marriage very variable. Actually, he says more than diamond, more than gold, more than paycheck. Consider your marriage of high value. Number two, verse 11, he says, and build confidence in each other. I was telling someone at a wedding, I've done more than probably 100 weddings and been married more than 20 years. I have some experience. I was telling someone, if, for example, your husband goes to the bathroom and then you take his phone to check his messages and then they upset you, the best thing is to put the phone in the trash cabin. Don't chase away the husband, chase away the phone. He can buy another phone. Yeah, because it would be foolish. How do you compare a husband and a phone? Yeah, husband more variable from verse 10. So, tupa simu, yende huko dadora. Atanunua simu ingine haina contacts. Now you are safe. Yeah. But don't throw away a husband because of text message. Are you also not able to send him a nice text message? The ones annoying you. Check, you have not sent him lovey-lovey. That's why somebody else is sending. But if it's a phone, throw it away. Kama ni gari inaenda sana, toa pumzi. Yeah, atadunua taa zingine. Lakini don't chase away your husband. And then in verse 12 of this passage, he says, be careful to do each other good and not harm all the days of your life. Be careful to do your good and not, yeah, because there are people who do harm. They are deliberate about it. And God is not happy. Do good and not harm. So God originated marriage. And even though there are different styles and all that, God still has an ideal. And the ideal of God is a marriage that is mature, a marriage that's sacrificial, a marriage that is mindful of your spouse, and a marriage where there's mutual consent to do things. May the Lord help us as we consider royal marriages and as we consider the things to do. I want to take time to pray, ask forgiveness for all the women that men have hurt here. Tell you there is a new chapter opening in your life because there is a God of another chance. Why don't we pray? Take a moment as well. Pray for your spouse. If you don't have, pray for your family and God will come through for you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this day to bring our marriages, our families before you and to ask healing. You are a God who heals marriages. You are a God who heals life. You are a God who takes us to a better place. Father, we pray, especially for all the men who have come home late, all the men who have not provided, all the men, we ask forgiveness today from God our Father, but also from our families, that God, we may be the men that you are looking for, men who stay the distance, and men who stand up to their promises, and men who deliver, because God is our help. Father, also there are women who have been deliberate about harm, and we ask again forgiveness. Cleanse us today, so that as we leave this sanctuary, we are leaving new people, ready to do things God's way. When God has given us an assignment, He also gives us the resource to do that assignment. So God will enable you to be everything that He intended for you to be. Father, we pray, even as we ask forgiveness from our children, we have not brought them up in the way of God because we've been busy with our own careers, we've been busy entertaining ourselves, we've been busy with selfish agendas. We ask their forgiveness. Father, that you may heal us and change us today so that we may realize that we have a godly responsibility to deliver godly children for the next generation. This is something we must do and we must not fail in. Nehemiah in 4 verse 14, he said, fight for your families so that the will of the Father may prosper. We don't want to be, you know, all those other things. Father, we know that in Scripture, you know, you have women that you changed and men. You know, I'm reminded of Rahab the prostitute. You know, you moved her from being a prostitute. She got married to Solomon. She became a grandmother of King David by extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are able to change us even tonight to the glory of your name. And so, Father, we thank you that as this word has gone out, looking at different kinds of marriages that are there, that we will desire to stay on godly marriages and we'll desire to do things God's way. Heal us and take us in the direction of the Bible says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And if it's the Son of Man who sets you free, then you'll be free indeed to the glory and honor of God's name. This prayer we make in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people say it. Amen and amen and amen. You have an opportunity today to check what kind of place you are. You want to see the benediction coming from the book of Jude, chapter 1. Jude is just a very short passage. I think it's 25 verses. So we are doing Jude 1, 24 and 25 for our benediction. And remember, as you go, these words were spoken for your meditation. Go and seriously consider, where is your marriage, where is your relationship, and can it become more godly? We are going to read this together. So 3, 2, 1. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Father, we thank you for people who left their homes and came to hear God's word and came to present themselves before you to tell you are their God and you are their help. I want to declare to them today that you are a God who will never abandon them. You'll never leave them. The Bible says you are very present help in every time of trouble. For you who was in a troubled situation, may you hear his voice saying this way is the way to go. For you who needed provision, remember that a cattle on a thousand hill belong to God. Remember that he'll meet you at every point of need. And for you who needed healing, remember he's Jehovah Rapha who heals all your diseases. This is going to be a fantastic week for you. And so we speak blessing on your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday are testimony days talking about the goodness of our God. And Sunday, we are looking forward to come here for this Thanksgiving Sunday and also to give our offerings and to celebrate the goodness of the Lord in our life. Father, we raise a standard that confuses every enemy of our lives. This is the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not walk in darkness. The Bible says that the entrance of his word gives us light. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, a light for my path. We shall not walk in darkness. We lift up people who are down. Bible says, work while it's day, because night cometh when no one can work. We also lift you in darkness. We remind you that the scriptures say that waiting may remain the night, but joy comes in the morning. You are going to experience the joy of the Lord. He removes the garment of crying and mourning and gives you a garment of praise. May that happen to you today. Bible says in Psalm 27, whom shall I be afraid of? The Lord is my help. Become a help for everyone who's looking out for you. And in verse 13, he says, you will experience the goodness of the Lord in this land of the living. Experience God. Father, I pray that the boundary lines will fall on pleasant places on God's people today. Let them be counted among the number. The Bible says you know your people and you make them to prosper. They are different from the people who don't worship you and who don't serve you. So we release a blessing on God's people today as they go by day and by night, as they leave and even as they come in. And this blessing we release today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and God's people say it. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big shout. Amen. 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 Tell your neighbor, thank you for coming to church. You made the service better. And tell them you're looking great. Tomorrow you'll be greater. Niku shiny. And wear shades. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Asante sana.